Well, let's open our Bibles this evening for these few minutes we have together. And let's go to Psalm 145, Psalm 145 and verse 8 and 9. Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9. We'll spend a few minutes talking about the Lord's mercy or compassion. And I'm going to read from the King James Version, but Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9. When you get there, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for His mercies. They're new every morning. And it doesn't say thank God for His mercy. It's mercies. Thank God. So in the King James, Psalm 145, verse 8, it says, "The Lord is what? Gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works." Ooh, boy, that's exciting to me. His tender mercies are over what? All His works. Are we His, what does the scripture say in Ephesians? We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. We're His workmanship. So His mercies are over us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when we think about mercy, we usually, or in this word here, it says He's full of compassion. And of course, this Hebrew word, and also you could look it up in the Greek also, it also means mercy. It also means mercy. So it's sometimes the translators used that word interchangeably. As you go through the scriptures, you can see sometimes they translated it mercy, and sometimes they use compassion. And that's what they did. So here, just another scripture. Let's just spend a few moments here. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. Hebrews 4:14. And I wanted to look again at this. At 14, 15, and 16. It says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession," or you could say confession, "for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was what? He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore what? Because He was tempted like us. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain what?
Mercy.
Mercy. Hallelujah. And find grace to help in time of need." So we can see here we're supposed to come boldly asking for to the throne of grace to find grace or mercy and grace to help in the time of need. And I like, and I've been sharing this last couple lessons, the Barclay translation said, "We must then fearlessly and confidently come to the throne of grace, and then we will find mercy and grace to help us in every situation when we need them." So would healing be one of them? Absolutely. If we need healing in our body, we're to come boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help in the time of need. And one of the points we were making at the last lesson was that boldness is always a result of knowledge. People are perished because of a lack of knowledge. And so your boldness, just in the natural, you know you're more bold when you know something. You're more confident about something when you know something. You're more assured. And so how much more in spiritual things? How much more in spiritual things, where we know the word of God is forever settled in heaven, God watches over his word to perform it. He cannot lie. That's what Malachi says, right? And even if you go over and you look at some of the other scriptures, which we'll just look at in a moment, but the point is that the result of you knowing something from the scripture causes faith, and faith causes assurance, faith causes confidence, faith ultimately, you could say, you're bold. You're bold, not arrogant, you're bold. You're saying, God, you said this, I take you at your word. And that's it, right? And you can have faith for those things that, as the scripture says, now faith is what? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence. What's the evidence? My faith, my boldness, my assurance is the evidence of things not seen, something not seen yet, something not experienced, but I've received it. I have it, right? Because I've gone in, I've asked God for it boldly. So just another, want to touch on this again, just a reminder, Hebrews 11:6, for without faith, it's impossible. That means it's not possible to please God without faith. For he that cometh unto God must what? Believe that he is, well, we know he is, but he's what? He is Jehovah Rapha. He is the Lord that healeth thee. He's Jehovah Rapha. And so he is my healer. So I have to come believing that he is, and that he is the Lord that healeth thee, healeth me, and he's what? He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And we spent some time looking at that, and we looked at examples in the scripture that anytime someone came to Jesus, they had these two qualities about them. In other words, they came believing that he is the healer and that he would liberally do that. He would do it. So he would reward them with that. So we saw that with the centurion. We saw that with the woman with the issue of blood. We saw that with the man let down through the roof by four, the man with palsy. We saw in those situations, they came boldly. They came assured that he's the healer. If I touch just but the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. Just speak the word, Jesus, and my servant will be healed. So they were confident of something they either heard themselves or they heard someone say about Jesus, that he's the healer. And so let's take a look today in Mark chapter 1, and let's look at some things about the Lord Jesus. And we know that Jesus is what? He's the will of God in action. He is the compassion of God, or you could say he's the compassion of God manifested in and through Jesus. So when Jesus operated in compassion, it was the compassion of the Father. He's a reflection of the Father. I in, what did he say? He in me, I in him. So when you saw, what did he say to his disciples? How I've been with you so long. How come you don't know the Father? Because when you see me, you see the Father. So Mark chapter 1 and verse 40, it said, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou can make me whole, make me clean, excuse me. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. So you can see here what moved Jesus: compassion. He was moved with compassion, and what moved him, so you can see here that compassion moved Jesus to do what? Heal the leper. So compassion moved Jesus to heal. So now let's look at another scripture verse, many, but let's look at a few here. Matthew chapter 14, starting in verse 13, looking at the compassion of the Father or manifested in Jesus, the mercy, you could say. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 13. And it said, and when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship unto a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was what? Moved with what? Compassion toward them. And he did what? He healed the sick. So we can see here that Jesus was moved with compassion. What did compassion move him to do? What was this compassion that was manifested? What did it move him to do? To heal. It moved him to heal. So when we see that, we know that it's the Father's mercies that manifested, his compassion that manifested in Jesus. And here's the other thing. Let's turn over to Philippians chapter 2 for a moment. We make a point here. Philippians chapter 2. Because a lot of times people, I'm not saying we do, but you'll hear people say this. Well, Jesus just healed because he was God. See, he's deity. He could do anything. Well, let's take a look at Philippians chapter 2 for a moment, in verse 7. It said, but he made himself of no reputation, I'm reading from the King James, and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Let me read this from the Message translation and then the New Living. It says, when the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity. Who did? Jesus did. He set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave and became human. So he became a man. Yes, he was the Son of God. Yes, he was God. But he set aside those divine privileges. And as Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So if he was deity, you know what I mean by that, if he operated as deity, why would he have needed to be anointed by the Holy Ghost? He wouldn't have. The New Living translation of Philippians 2:7, it says, instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. So he gave up or he set aside the divine privileges that were afforded of him operating as God. He didn't operate as God. He operated, as the scripture says, as a human being, anointed by the Holy Ghost, anointed by God. See? So when people say, well, you know, Jesus healed because he was God, because he was deity, you can take them right over here and say, well, no, that's not true. The scriptures don't point that out. He operated as a man, moved by the Father with compassion. He said, I can do nothing of myself. It's the Father that worketh in me. So the Father worked in him and through him to heal. With what? Compassion and mercy, right? So you can see here that, and just point out a few other scriptures. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And pointing out God, if Jesus is healing today, then God is healing today. Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. He doesn't change. Numbers 23:19. These are familiar, all familiar scripture verses. God is not a man, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation because I just like the way it reads. God is not a man, so he does not lie. He is not human, so he does not change his mind. I like this. This is really point. This is clear. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? Oh, this is God, God the Father. He said it, and he watches over his word to perform it. Hallelujah. And then, of course, the other scriptures that we know of, Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, God that cannot lie. He can't lie. He's not a man, so he doesn't lie. He doesn't change his mind. James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from who? The Father of lights, with whom what? There is no variableness, no shadow of turning. He doesn't change his mind. If he healed, if he was, as he expressed in Exodus, I am the God that healeth thee. If he was the God that was healing under the old covenant, he is the God that's healing today. He's the same. And we need to settle that in ourselves personally, and we share that. No, God is the healer. He's the same then, and he's the same now. He doesn't change. He doesn't lie. He doesn't change his mind. He doesn't parse through and say, oh, maybe it's God's will for this group and not this group, or maybe it's God's will for this person and maybe not this person. No, he healed all that came to him. He healed all, and he's a God that healeth. Thee. He never changes and he never lies. And he is the healer. Hallelujah. He's full of compassion. If he was full of compassion back then, if he was full of mercies back then, he's full of mercy and compassion now and today. He's the same. He never changes. Hallelujah. We change. We think different things. He doesn't. He's the same. Hallelujah. So let's take a few moments here. Let's look at Matthew chapter 20. Let's look at some other examples. Matthew chapter 20. You know, the more this gets rooted in our spirit, we can come boldly to God. And I'll say this also, you're not only bold and assured with God, you're bold and assured against the devil. Because you know who's the oppressor. You know who's the one that's causing the problem. Hallelujah. And if you lack wisdom, what does the scripture say? If we lack wisdom in an area, then we ask of God. Matthew chapter 20, starting in verse 29. It says, and as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside. So this is talking about the two blind men here. When they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And the multitude rebuked them. Now, I didn't take the time to look this up, but I remember there was a study that I had done, and I looked up this word, cried. And I just happened to look this up, and Rick Renner was pointing out in the Greek that, it, you know, sometimes we think cry is, you know, like, oh, Lord. You know, he said, this is shouting at the top of your lungs. That's why they were rebuking him, like, hey, knock it off, be quiet. They were making some noise. And it says, and the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they did what? They cried the more. Does that sound like boldness to you? Yes. Oh, yeah. That sounds like boldness to me. They weren't going to be shut up. They wanted something from Jesus, right? That's what that sounds like to me. And it says, they cried the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And what? That got Jesus' attention. He stood still and called them and said, what will ye that I shall do unto you? And they say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. Isn't it interesting? They didn't ask him to forgive their sins. They didn't do that. And yet, that's a mercy. But for them, they wanted their eyes open. That's what they wanted. That's what they came for. And so what? Jesus had what? Compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they did what? They followed him. So compassion was manifested, and it did what? It didn't heal their sins. It didn't forgive their sins. He gave them what they asked for. Their faith in what he would do. Now, it doesn't say this in the scriptures, but I dare say it probably was faith that caused the compassion to move. It doesn't say that, but you can read the scripture. They didn't be quiet. They said, they cried the more, have mercy upon us. And so their faith caused the compassion of God to move. And he had what? Mercy upon them. And you can see here that that word was used interchangeably. They're asking for mercy. And what does it say? It says, and compassion moved Jesus to heal them. So compassion, or you could say mercy, is a healing. Isn't it so? So this proves here that healing is a mercy. Proves it. They asked for mercy. Compassion moved on Jesus, and he did what? He healed them. Let's take a look at Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. And let's take a look at verse 46, starting in verse 46. Now, this is a different account. This is not the two blind men, but this is blind. This is actually talking about blind Bartimaeus. But similar in some respects. And what do we have here? It said, and starting in verse 46, it says, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, see, here it is. He heard, who was it? It was Jesus. He began to do what? Cry out. He began to shout and say, Jesus, thou son of David, do what? Mercy. Have mercy. So isn't it interesting? There's something about, they didn't cry, they cried out for mercy. So there's something that, you know, it's interesting to see in these situations that when they heard it was Jesus, they cried out for mercy. So they knew he would extend mercy and either forgive their sins or heal them. Isn't it interesting? I find it interesting. They knew it was Jesus, and they responded in, I guess you could say, they responded in a certain manner. Have mercy upon me. They didn't ask for something. They didn't ask him for food. They didn't ask him for money. And yet he had someone that carried a bag with him, and he did good things. He went around and helped people. But they asked for mercy. He did. And what does it say? And it continued, verse 48, and many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he did what? He cried the more, a great deal. So he was not going to be quiet. That to me is exactly what boldness is, that you're not going to be turned away from something that God has promised, no matter the opposition, because that was opposition, right? They're telling him to be quiet, go away, come back another day. He's saying, no, I'm getting it now, right? God promised it. Or in this sense, he believes that Jesus is willing to do that, and he's going to get it. He's going to pursue it. And so here in verse 49, it says, and Jesus did what? He stood still and commanded him to be called. And they call the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, and he calleth thee. Now they're okay with it, right? because the master called. But before, they're telling them, button it up, be quiet, be still, hold your peace. And it said, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. And I believe the same thing. When we talked about the two blind men, it doesn't say their faith, go thy way, thy faith hath healed thee, but the same characteristics. They tried to tell them to be quiet, and they shouted all the more. That to me is that's faith working right there. Even though the scripture doesn't say it, I believe their faith, that's what caused the compassion of God to operate in that situation we read in Matthew. Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's look at this particular scripture for a moment. Or actually, I'll tell you what. Let's go to Mark 5 first. Sorry about that. Let's go to Mark chapter 5. Let's look at this account, because this is another account of the compassion of God working through Jesus. Mark chapter 5. Actually, starting from verse 1. And this is the man dwelling in the tombs, or you could say the madman of Gadara. And let's read down. It says, and they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, talking about Jesus, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken into pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. That's pretty extreme. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, this is Jesus, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. You know, it's interesting. This brings back memories, this particular scripture verse. I just take a little side, you know, as Brother Hagin used to say, a little side journey here. I remember there was a family, well, I guess I'll say it that way. It was a family association where this particular person kept moving back and forth between the United States and a foreign country. They'd stay over there in a foreign country for a little bit and then come back to the States. And then they'd stay here a little while with the family, and then they'd move back to the foreign country. And you know how and it's disruptive. It's very disruptive to a family and to kids. And you're bouncing back and forth. And I'm wondering, you know, I'm in my mind. See, because the Lord knows what you're thinking. I'm saying, what's up with this? Because it bothered me to see them bouncing back and forth. They go over for eight years, then bounce back. Come back, stay for a little while, go back, and then back. And I'm like, what's up with this? It didn't make sense. And the Holy Ghost spoke this scripture to me. I didn't even know it. And he said right here, and what does it say? It says, and he besought him much that He's talking about the he said the legion, right? Besought Jesus. He said that he would not send them away out of the country. Now, if you look at the other scriptures, this is the only scripture. It just bounce over to Matthew chapter 8. Just so you can see something here. Matthew chapter 8, and look at verse 31. Matthew chapter 8, same account. See, this account in verse 31, it says, "So the devils besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine." Okay? That's one translation of it. Now go over to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. And look at verse 31. Luke chapter 8 and verse 31. Same account, but in verse 31 it says, "And they," talking about the devils, "and they besought him," Jesus, "that he would not command them to go out into the deep." It doesn't say anything about sending them out of the country. That's the only scripture verse. It's the three accounts, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but when you look at it in Mark, it says they didn't want to be sent out of the country. Because that's where demons want to stay. They want to stay in a particular country and have influence. And so that's what the Holy Ghost revealed to me, that there was some demonic influence there that kept motivating him to keep coming back to his country. Does everybody understand where I'm going with that? Because I didn't understand why the back and forth, why the back and forth, why the back and forth. And U.S. back to South America, U.S. back to South America. And I said, that's crazy. What's going on? And the Holy Ghost revealed it. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that's the same with everybody. I'm just telling you, it was a revelation to me in this particular situation that God revealed there was something motivating the person that was not godly, that those spirits that were motivating him wanted to be back in that country. And I said, makes sense. That was a revelation to me. And I'm not saying you see a devil behind every tree and every person that bounces back and forth is not necessarily motivated, but in this case it was. And so the scripture always answers the question. It answers the questions. The devil's still the same and God's the same. Right? And nothing new under the sun with the devil. He's still doing the same stuff. And that's why when devils are assigned, what does the scripture say? It says when a person is swept and clean, he said they go away, but then they come back with what? Seven more that are worse. They coming back to the same territory. They want to come back and they want to take control in the same territory. And that's why a lot of times they'll go and wander for a while, but they want to come back to the same territory that they've been in. And so I just share that just for your, hope that helps. Anyways, back in verse 10, and it said, "And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there, nigh unto the mountains, a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter therein, enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked into the sea, in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and what? In his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. So not only is he got this guy who was a madman, now he's sitting there in his right mind, and that which was in him went into the swine. So these two stories made him a little nervous. They're like, please depart out of this area. So verse 18, and when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Now this is what I want to get to in verse 19, all of that to get to 19. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and had what? Compassion. He had compassion. He had mercy upon him. And he healed him. He delivered him, right? So that mercy was extended to him. And in this case, you know, it doesn't say, but even where this person was, you know, possessed, he was extended mercy here. And then again, it says, and he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. So here we can see an account where mercy was extended. What kind of mercy? He was healed. He was delivered. Thank God, right? Hallelujah. Now let's take another look here. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And starting in verse 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And I'm going to read from the King James. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints, which are at Achaia, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So now here, what does he say? So let's pick up here at verse 3. It says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's saying, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who what? The Father of what? Mercies. He's the Father of mercies and what? The God of all comfort. Isn't that good? So when we look at this, we can see the character of God. He is merciful. He is a God of mercy. This is his character. When we talk about God is love, then you could turn around and say he's the God of mercy. He is merciful. He's a merciful God. He's a compassionate God. That's his nature. So when anybody says I'm not sure God wants to heal, I'm sorry, but that's not God's nature. That's almost like someone saying, well, I'm not sure, you know, when you look at things, how could God be a God of love with all of this stuff going on? People question the character of God. They question whether he is loving. And that's no different when people turn around and question that God is merciful. He's a God of mercy. He is the Father of mercies. If he was the Father of mercies in the Old Testament, he's the Father of mercies in the New Testament. He's the same. What does it say in Malachi? He does not change. He's not a man that he can lie. In other words, he's not a man that he lies. That's what the scripture says. He's not like man that he lies. He doesn't change his mind. What is James 1:17? It says, every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is what? No variableness, nor shadow of turning. He doesn't change. He's the Father of mercies. And I can come boldly to the throne of grace and receive mercy and grace in the time of need. And that's what we just got done looking at when we read these accounts of the two blind men and blind Bartimaeus. We looked at them. They cried out, "Lord, have mercy upon me." They cried out. They tried to shut them down, didn't they? And they cried out all the more, "Lord, have mercy upon me." And he stopped. He didn't say, "Later, please be quiet. I'm not in the mood." He stopped and said, "What will you have me do?" And they said, we want mercy. We want you to heal us." And it says that compassion moved upon Jesus, and he healed them. And they were immediately healed. Their blind eyes were opened. So thank God. He is the Father. And also, look in verse 3. Isn't it interesting? It doesn't say the Father of mercy. It doesn't say he's the Father of mercy. It says he's the Father of mercies. Right? Salvation is a mercy. Healing is a mercy. Or you could say forgiveness is a mercy. And healing is a mercy. So he's the Father of mercies, not mercy. Praise God. Now let's take another look at one more scripture here. There's so many. We could spend time on this, but Matthew 15. And verse 30 and 31, actually we could back up to 29. And it says, "And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain and sat down there. And verse 30, and great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he did what? He healed them." Or you could say he healed them all. Verse 31, "insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the what? The dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel." Hallelujah. So this is the compassion of God in operation here that healed all. And he desires that all be healed, all be well. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is a good God. He's the Father of mercy. And it's a good thing. I think it's a good habit. You know, that's what blessed me a couple of weeks ago when the Lamberts were here. And we were, you know, it excited me to hear Pat Vaughn talk about how she fell many years ago, 15 years ago, broke her wrist, and then she slipped a little bit on ice here, fell, and then she's been confessing every day. She said, "No, I will not have broken bones in my body. No." And she made a choice, she said approximately 15 years ago, that she will not have a broken body in her body. And she confesses it every day. When she prays over her food, "Thank you, Lord, I'll have no broken bones in this body." You see, and I believe, and I told her, I said, when she told me that, I said, "Oh man, that blesses me. That just blesses me," because it confirmed for me all the more that the reason you didn't break your wrist this time was because God watches over his word to perform it. Just like it says, you won't dash your foot upon a stone. He's watching over you. So that, yeah, okay, you sprained your wrist, but you didn't break it. You didn't break. You know how many people, I know a person right now, slipped on ice, had to have a plate put in their hand. Yeah, out for 3 months, going through all of it. But thank God we're delivered by the words of our mouth. Amen. We're delivered by the words of our mouth. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. And so I don't care whether you see it. You could be in great health, but you don't know Something will come up and something happen in your life and your words will deliver you. Thank God. So we keep professing the word. God is a God of mercy. He's a healing God. And the healing power of God is working in me, strengthening me, causing every cell and tissue to function properly. I don't care what's going on. And you keep saying it and saying it and saying it and saying it, and you'll walk right out of symptoms. You may be walking through some symptoms. Keep speaking the word. Keep speaking the word. Keep speaking the word. And the word will deliver you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm telling you, that's exciting to me. Hallelujah. And along the way, God is a God of mercy. We do dumb stuff, We do dumb things. Say amen. Amen. We eat things that we shouldn't eat. We do things that we shouldn't do. And God is a God of what? Mercy. And he'll knock on your door and say, hey, stop that. Don't do that anymore. And we being like what we are, right? We say, I like this. I don't want to stop this. Right? And we do things like that. But God is merciful. And he'll cause us to change habits. He'll cause us to change things that we say. Don't say that anymore. Don't do that anymore. Right? He's a God of compassion. He's about, he wants, what does that mean? Compassion means it's something in you that moves you. Right? So when you see your children struggling in an area, he's moved with compassion to say something to you. Could be to you by the Holy Ghost, could be to you from teaching of the Word of God, and it pricks you and you go, I need to do something here. I need to change what I'm saying. I need to do this, right? And he keeps on reaching out to us in mercy and compassion. And that's the exciting part to me, even when we miss it, right? What does the scripture say? When we are unfaithful, he still is faithful, right? Even when we're off over here not being faithful, that doesn't change the faithfulness of God. He's still faithful. He's still for us. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Never. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I am the healed, I am the strong, I am the one that's overcoming. I'm not being overrun with sickness and disease. I'm overcoming. And where I need to make adjustments, we make adjustments. Right? Praise God. He is the God of mercy. Let's read that scripture one more time in Psalms before we close. Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9. I'll wait till you get there. I'm going to read it in the King James. Psalm 145, verse 8, it says, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion. If he's full of compassion, that means he's full of mercy. Slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is what? Good to all. And his tender mercies are over all his works. Ooh, over all his works. Hallelujah. So if you see something killing and destroying and stealing, that's not his works. That's not his works. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Well, let's meditate on that. God is a God of mercy. He's full of compassion, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Father. We thank you for these deposits of your word in our spirit, and we thank you that as we mix faith with the word that we've heard, as we do it, as we don't let this drop as the seed, but we let it drop into good ground. And we thank you that as we do, it'll bring forth some 30, some 60, some hundredfold in our lives. And we thank you that the Word of God is working mightily in us. And we take that word and we put it in our mouths and we speak it and we release it. And we thank you that it's medicine to all our flesh. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.